Welcome to HIT. This is Chris Ciccanelli. We're talking everything high intensity tactics for growth. And we have our special guest again, Valerie Jacobs from LPK, Chief Insight Innovation Officer. And today we're talking about sex. I love this topic. It's one of my favorite topics. But no, we're talking more about a sex recession. Valerie, I know you've done a lot of like trend spotting. You've seen things that are going on in the world today. Tell us what's happening when it comes to this kind of recession we're going through.
So really, this came to light, I would say, in December of 2018, when the Atlantic Monthly, which we all know is like a bastion of, you know, truth and amazing reporting, and they did, it was the cover story, it was a very in-depth article kind of positing, are we in a sex recession? Mm-hmm. And so not only was this sort of looking at millennials and, you know, people kind of in the 35-year-old range and younger and kind of positing, are they having a lot less sex? But the article really delves into, like, what is underlying this sex recession? Is it actually just young people, or is it everyone? Is it just in America, or is it global? So it's like a really great, juicy, long article that really digs into this. So, but I thought it would be a provocative conversation to have because, you know, trends, often there's a trend and a counter trend. Mm-hmm. And what's cool about your business is that you could probably win on both sides of this trend, meaning you
can... Now you got my attention.
Help people get out of the sexual recession. Mm-hmm. But also one of the things about the sexual recession is that maybe people are just having sex with themselves. Mm. And so you're well positioned, no pun intended, to help with that too.
I like it. All right. Tell us a little bit about the kind of the guts of the article. What was it kind of going into? What should our listeners really know about this?
Well, I think that there was a lot about how society has more relaxed attitudes than ever about sex. Mm-hmm. So it says things like polyamory is now a household word. Mm-hmm. People are kind of accepting of this even, at least maybe on the coasts or in big cities. There's pretty high acceptance of the idea of premarital sex. Mm-hmm. There are all of these digitally enabled ways to meet partners, mm-hmm. like, you know, Grindr or Tinder or Bumble or whatever.
And so Farmers Only.
My favorite. So there's more, you know, gender fluidity, mm-hmm. more, I mean, just all of these things. There's like never been a time where people were more tolerant of individuals, their beliefs. And so there's sort of the, on the one side of this, this acceptance of mm-hmm. sexuality and beliefs around it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are all these things going on in the culture that have made, I guess, having sex not happen so much. And that could be anything from, you know, there's sort of Gen Y graduated into a recession and they've never quite recovered financially. So there's tons of career stress. I think a lot of people think falling in love or having a relationship is actually going to delay their careers or their success. People are getting married later. People are not getting married at all. And then there's tons of anxiety, more use of antidepressants, et cetera. So all of these things, you know, even living with your parents. Yeah. So apparently being underemployed and living with your parents means you're not really doing it very much.
I would say that those would probably be reasons, you know, living at mom and dad. Hey, what's going on down there? But let me ask you this question. So when you think about Gen Y, mm-hmm. all right, classify Gen Y, what is that age group?
That age group is generally, I would say the middle range right now, mm-hmm. is they're around 30, 35.
Okay.
I would say a lot of people say they were born between 1980 and 2000.
Yep.
And then anybody 2000 to now might be in Z mm-hmm. or Alpha. But let me just say, everybody disagrees on the generations and when they start and stop.
Okay. Because you hear like a lot of millennials, you know, you get that thrown out that they're really into a relationship and but they're not into their career. Is, you know, and then, you know, and that is, you know, even that group is having, you know, more, less and less sex. I mean, Gen Y, that I think is kind of the same in that. Is this recession have anything to do with you know, back in the day, you would court somebody, you would talk to them, you'd have you'd have like a formal relationship. Yeah. And now, you know, I like how you brought up some of the technology pieces that are out there. Is it that we've made relationship or the act of sex too easy? Is it, you know, is it like it's not a thrill of going out there and actually, you know, working hard to build a relationship with somebody?
Yeah, I think that I don't know that we've made it too easy, but I think that what we've done is taken some of the romance and some of the courting and the the preview out of it, like the getting excited about it.
Yeah.
And in fact, some people feel like actually going up to a woman and hitting on her or meeting somebody in a bar is actually creepy now. Mm-hmm. That would seem stalkery.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being about the build up and the getting to know someone and the anticipation and excitement.
Yeah, because swiping right and swiping left is so much more romantic. I mean, I sit back and I think about, I watch people like they swipe left and they swipe right. And I watch people, you know, I go through and they're like, I mean, that's really like, oh, that guy and I, we think each other are good looking. I mean, I don't know. Maybe call me old fashioned, but I met my wife, you know, at an event with a bunch of people. And then we ended up seeing each other out. I'm not a big club person, but I end up seeing her out. We, you know, connected. It was, you know, we exchanged information. You know, nothing happened. It was just kind of that, like, oh my God, but I couldn't wait to see her again, right? Like, you know, that. I feel like that was like the really cool, mysterious piece of getting started in a relationship.
I mean, think about that. That was you having anticipation and excitement over seeing her again.
Yes.
Now the anticipation and excitement is the bing-bing on your phone that somebody liked they swiped and matched.
Yes.
So it's almost like the rush of the pleasure is replaced by the notifications on your phone as opposed to actually being with the person.
Oh.
And really, all of these dating apps or hookup apps are insanely inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be on there a long time. You have to swipe a lot. Even when you do, only a percentage are going to swipe back. Then you got to go in the messaging phase. And then only a certain percentage you get to the date. And so it's almost like the sales funnel.
It is. It's like, have you sent your email? Did you send your social text? I mean, that to me is crazy. I don't think I could be in that world. And so I could see why we are in a sex recession. I mean, like, it's waiting too long to even have sex and you're like, I'm too tired.
I mean, this has been described also to Gen Y across the board as kind of like an indulgence gap, actually. Yeah. Because many of them graduated into the recession, so they were underemployed right away. That put them into some developmental delays. I mean, you know, like career development delays. And then what's happened is when the economy turned around, they actually had no assets to appreciate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So think about, even if you were more an Xer or older, you at least had assets like potentially a home or a 401k or. And so when the turnaround happened, all your assets appreciated. They had no assets, so they got no appreciation. Ooh. And so they are kind of behind previous generations. Yeah. They are willing to splurge in some areas, primarily like food. They love to spend money on food and craft beer and things like that, but they are not spending money on things like fine wine or other types of indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of across the board. They're really different. And so we're all, I think, many consumer goods companies are waiting to see what happens when they start getting into a new life phase, when they hit that 35 mark and up.
Yeah.
And the bulk of the generation is there. And are they going to start acting more like previous generations? Mm-hmm. Or have they forever changed even consumption across the board in all categories?
That is going to be the big aha, because I want to ride the trend. I'm betting on them wanting wine. I'm betting on them wanting, you know, the better things. Because right now, if not, we will have a problem.
Totally. And you're hitting on all those categories. It's kind of those luxury categories like Yeah. Fashion, wine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and you think about, I mean, if you're Louis Vuitton right now, what are you going to do? You're going to drop down and make a $200 band? That's not going to happen.
Not happening.
And so, therefore, you know, I have seen a lot of them where they, you know, they have valued going out to dinner more than they valued career path or career. Now, I am starting to see a trend, even in my business, of people that, you know, my Gen Ys or my millennials that actually really do want now a bigger career path. They're talking about, hey, look, I do want to be starting to think about a family. So it's interesting with that. But there's been a lot of companies now that have been popping up since this kind of recession has taken place that are starting to, you know, kind of, you know, work with this group of individuals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what's really interesting too, is that also there are statistics that say that intimate health is going to be a $35 billion plus industry in 5 years.
Yep.
So that's a big industry to be a part of, and that's really more about you know, sexual wellness and sex care. And I think more and more people are thinking about it that way. I even saw recently a very cool business in New York that is like a new style of fertility clinic, and really asking women, like basically talking to women about owning their biological clocks more. And so ultimately this is an egg freezing business, but they're basically talking to Gen Y women to say, like, if you want to put your career first, you get to control when you want to start a family and you can own this. So this is very oriented to female empowerment, etc. And so there are all kinds of interesting businesses popping up, and then even more so in sexual health, amazing new types of doctor's offices that are more luxurious. So, you know, no paper gowns, you're getting a 300 thread count, beautiful robe, beautiful art, et cetera. So there are some businesses that are really catering all the way down into products. And you've got great companies like Maud or Dame that have gone into the industry from sex toys to other accessories with a whole new way of talking to people. And whether it's being inclusive or, you know, diverse, et cetera. And then also even mass retailers are getting in on the act. So consumers are experiencing and intersecting the category of sexual care in places you wouldn't have thought before, like Urban Outfitters, Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's platform,
Walmart,
or Revolve, which is fashion.
Yep.
So it's kind of like they're intersecting it from fashion to beauty to wellness, et cetera. So,
and I think that's exactly, we're seeing that trend right now. I mean, you know, we've kind of been on the forefront when it comes to kind of that whole sexual wellness movement. You know, sexual health has been really big with Patty here, you know, and doctor's offices, carrying dilator sets. You know, that was it was before to kind of treat a symptom or an inefficiency. Now it's like, no, I want to be able to, I want my lubricant that right here for my doctor, or I want to know that I'm getting this great product. So we're seeing the same types of trends that are happening. And it's interesting, you know, one of the big areas I'm seeing too that are popping up are businesses is virtual reality.
Yeah.
Virtual reality, the number, I go to shows, you know, across the globe, Hong Kong, if it's, you know, if it's Germany or wherever. And, you know, that is something that is, you know, playing a big role is, you know, the getting people excited about the act of having sex, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I think what's going to even fuel that is something that we haven't seen quite yet, which would be, I would call them like a haptic suit, which is, so right now they're really just, you know, there are glass, you know, HoloLens or headsets or whatever. But that can't quite get to the sensorial part of things.
Yep.
But there are people working mainly on the fringes of culture on, I see this mostly in art exhibitions or things like that, museums, et cetera, that are working on haptic suits, which would be basically clothing or things that you could put on that will simulate
touch
and stimulus, et cetera.
Yeah.
So when you get those two together,
Okay, that's gonna be an interesting, you know, product category. Brought to you by you know, but that's the cool part about what, when we see the recession or we see some of these things, you know, it is through education we can make some changes. It is through some of these new startups, innovation, that, you know, companies shouldn't be afraid of doing some of these things and tackling, like we've been, you know, like we talked about in the first one, is like, you know, riding that wave, yeah, with female empowerment, doing something that was a little bit at one time very taboo, looking at an industry, yeah, now going to $35 billion. A lot of people have always said, you know, is this industry, you know, where is the peak, where is the tap? And I kept saying I never thought when we were a $1 million company we'd be a $250 million company. I don't think that there is a crest. I don't think there is this peak. I think if you're servicing and you're keeping up with your customers, how they want to interact with the brand, how they want to talk about it, educating them that it's, mm-hmm, important to have the relationship, that's where I don't think we ever go out.
I think too that maybe part of the conversation needs to be around placing sex, sexuality, et cetera, into the context of life and lifestyle. So yeah, not having it be so taboo and talking about the overall life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say a sexual lifestyle, but put it into context with your lifestyle. Yeah. And I noticed when I was kind of thinking about the category and looking at some of the newer players that have entered in, they're talking to consumers in a way that connects with them, to say like the art of taking a bath, mm-hmm, or the truth about aphrodisiacs, yeah, and just sort of like not just straight medical type, yeah, of education,
yeah,
but things about maybe creating more sensuality throughout your whole life and learning to be in your body and experience pleasure and connect with others and, you know, have that person-to-person relationship instead of just relying on technology all the time. So it's really interesting what's out there.
You know, it is great. And I, you know, like I said, you know, doing what you do from an innovation perspective and seeing and spotting trends, you know, we want to keep bringing you back on if you're okay coming back to hit, because I've enjoyed these conversations. They've been fantastic, and I really, really appreciate it. We're talking with Valerie Jacobs of LPK, Chief Insight and Innovation Officer, and also a good friend of Pure Romance here in town. Yeah. So we appreciate everything that you do. Valerie, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. So
thanks.
Can we get you back?
Of course.
Okay. I know if you want Valerie back, make sure you go down. You got to make sure you put it in the comments, because she is fantastic. She's awesome. So remember this, you know what? Live life by design, not by default. You have the pen to change your story. So do it today. Make some things happen. Have a great day, everybody.